94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. I'm Juan Castillo. This is the Electric Drum. In the studio today, I have with me LaJune Hollis. She's been actually, you know, a co-worker of mine for many, many years. And she's been involved in radio for many years, also television and the whole nine as an account exec. How you doing today?
I'm doing well, Juan. How are you?
Wonderful. I'm doing well. Okay, so let's get started. You grew up, you were born in Newport and grew up in Groton.
Exactly. My father was in the Navy. He was a military man. So although I was born in Newport, we didn't grow up there. We visited there because our cousins stayed there, but we grew up in Groton because Groton is a military town. So that's how we ended up there.
Right. So tell me about growing up in Groton.
It was different. We were one of the few black families. There's no doubt about that. And Groton is a real small town. It's like 13,000 people. Mm-hmm. So it was the real small town life. You know, people expect you to do certain things. And I was the rebel. I wanted to be a career woman. I didn't want to settle down and get married and raise a family. I wanted to go out and make my own way, and that's basically what I had in my mind. So it was different.
So I mean, obviously, you know, there wasn't a lot of diversity. How did you deal with that? I mean, well, what were some of the highlights? And you know,
it was I had four sisters and two brothers, and my older sister was really good, Dana. She was really good about saying, you know what, we live in this town, and anything in this town is for us. So she would make it a point and take us to places that we might have not normally went to. Mm-hmm. She was the older sister. And so we did things, and that's why I had such a well-rounded childhood. We did things that some black people felt funny about. They were like, that's not for black people. That's for white people. We right. did them anyway because she said, we live here, and this is for us too.
Right.
You know,
right.
we pay taxes, that kind of thing.
Right, right.
So it was unique in that we were one of the few black families. In my high school, I was probably, oh my God, I think it was like 5% black, if that, and that's probably being generous. But I was used to it, and I also knew that nothing was not for me, and that's what it gave me. You know, the confidence to say, no, it's all for me, and I'm going to take advantage of it, and I'm going to live it.
You mentioned your dad was in the Navy. Tell us about your dad.
He was he went into the military when he was like 18 or 19. So I used to think that my father was raised in the military, and then he raised us in a military way because he was very disciplined mm-hmm. and very focused, and he expected us to get up early, and you know, we rose early, we didn't stay out late. He was very strict. He had a lot of rules, and he ran his household very. And my mother was at home. They were called the housewives back then. So I grew up in a dual parent family, and my mother was at home, and my father was working, and it was very traditional, and it was very strict.
Not a lot of distractions back in those days. You know, today, you know, you got Facebook and Twitter, and you got the video games, and you got a lot of stuff that distracts young people today. You know, I'm trying to think of my, you know, even in my own childhood, what did I do without all these things?
Oh, I know.
Talk about, you know, some of the things that, you know, it interested you, you know, and that you were involved with, you know, back in those days.
Well, one of the things that my mother being at home, she was really involved in our lives, and she, how she did it, because I often wonder, not since I never had any kids of my own, how she did it, because they had seven kids. But basically what she did was she had us all involved in sports because, you know, in sports you learn so many good things that help you in life later on. But she had us involved in all these different sports. So, and I'm sure that kept us out of her hair as well. But it also kept us busy, and it kept us focused and driven and all those other good things. But back then, without Facebook, and I, you know, when I look back, it's like, wow, I can't believe I lived without it. But we were so busy. We were playing games. We were in sports. You didn't feel like you couldn't go anywhere. I mean, we would literally be miles and miles away from home, and we never had to worry. My parents weren't worried. It wasn't like we knew what time to get home. Once the lights came out, when the lights came on, we came home. We knew, you know, we had our boundaries and we followed them, and you know.
And no cell phones for them.
No cell phone. Yeah, exactly. It's like, how was that possible? But like I said, the lights came on and we came home, and that was it. There was no questions asked, you know?
Yeah. So educationally, you know, what was school like for you?
It was very, we went to the same schools. I went to Mary Morrison Elementary School. I went to Robert E. Fitch. Back then it was junior high school, and it was 3 years long. And then I went to Robert E. Fitch Senior High School. So literally 13 years of growing up in the same town, same schools. This is exactly what my father wanted. He wanted us. He traveled all over the world on subs. He wanted his 7 kids and his wife in one town, and that's where we ended up. So it was real school. Everything was structured, and that's what he wanted. He wanted structure in our lives. He wanted us to be, you know, just have normal lives. So right. We met people, you know, we lived in Navy housing for a while. So we met people, they were coming and going. We weren't going anywhere. And we thought that was a bad thing. Looking back on it, I know now it's a good thing.
Right.
But back then it was like, how come we never get to move? How come we never get to go anywhere? And he's like, don't worry about it. He said, you know, you stay here and just do what you got to do.
Right.
And, you know, we did. We listened. But it's funny. I look back now and I'm happy it worked out that way.
Besides the sports, I mean, what did you enjoy about school? I mean, any particular subjects, any teachers that you want to comment on?
Well, I always loved English because I love reading.
Yes.
My mother was so good with, she made books seem real important. Like, this is something you want to do. My mother, when I look back, I just, you know, we lost her almost 6 years ago. And I think of her in so many fond terms. But she was so good with her kids. I mean, she had us reading and she made us feel like it was the best thing in the world to read. So I love reading and I love writing because, you know, that usually write after you read. And going to the library, that was a big thing. We didn't have a lot of money, so the library was important. And we spent a lot of time there and we did those kind of things. We didn't go out to a lot of places because we didn't have a lot of money. We had a station wagon with 7 kids and a mother and father. We went to our vacations were visiting the family, you know.
Yes.
That was it, you know. You didn't go with those, weren't, you know, I mean, those were our vacations, but you know, today it's different. But it's just so funny and we didn't think anything of it. We were so happy,
right?
You know,
right,
we
right.
didn't have a lot, but we were happy because we had each other.
Yes, you yes know? Yes. Juan Castillo with you. I'm this is Electric Drum, of course, and I'm speaking with LaJune Hollis. She's been an account exec, you know, almost every, you know, media company here in the area. She worked for WYBC. We're going to talk about that experience, what she had with that. She worked for WNAC. She worked for Umoja News. And now she's working with Channel 8 as an account executive. So when it was time, you know, when high school came and, you know, senior year, you know, what were some of the things that you guys were thinking about in terms of your future?
I was my mother was so, both of them actually, my parents were really big about education, and they knew that with after high school you really do need college, and with that you're going to have a better quality of life, and that's what they wanted for us.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted us to have a better quality of life. Neither one of them had graduated from college, so it was a big deal. They have 7 kids, they want us to graduate. So that was a focus. And I wanted to get out of the small town that I grew up in.
Really?
So to me, it's okay. Like, I want to go away to college. I want to explore the world. I want to, you know, do all these things. So I was thinking that way anyway.
Yes.
And so I had it in my head. I think all of us had it in our head because we knew it was expected of us. And it was also expected of us to leave the house at 18 because they gave us luggage for our high school graduation gift. So people always laugh when I tell them that, but it's, yeah, it really is true. They were looking for us to leave at 18.
Yeah, right.
It's like, yeah.
Feeding 7 kids. I can imagine when you guys went to the grocery store. Yeah. Wow.
We used to go, my mother used to take turns taking us, like take 2 of us at a time, that type of thing, and we come back with 15 bags. It was not it was not uncommon.
Yeah, right, you know? Right. So okay so you know, college, you know, what did you start looking at?
I ended up at my first college I went to was Johnson and Wales in Rhode Island.
Okay.
I ended up going there for 2 years. I got my associate degree in business, and then I transferred to Sacred Heart University in Fairfield, Connecticut.
Why business?
I wanted the business. I wanted at least, it was a 2-year degree, but I wanted some kind of background in business just so I could, it would help navigate me through life. Just having that business background. There's so many things that you use it for.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I was going to go into media, but I still wanted the business degree as well.
Oh, so media was on your mind then?
Media was on my mind, but not as, you know, and it might have, to tell you the truth, that's a good question. I think media has always been on my mind because I look back on when I was growing up and watching Barbara Walters, of all people.
Yes.
But she was, I guess she influenced a lot of people, but watching her and then just being fascinated with the media.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I started reading newspapers when I was 18 and really starting to get into news, and news was vastly different than it is today.
Yes.
So it was a circus today, but back then it wasn't. It was normal. And it was nice to watch and read and all that.
Investigative reporting and really stories that educate and liberate you. I mean, those are the kinds of things that we saw in the news.
Oh, absolutely. It was totally different. It was I can't believe, we grew up in a different time.
And what's interesting is that, you know, today you don't even know what is real news.
No, I mean, I think of what was on the news.
Double check it.
Just this week alone. What was on the news this week?
Yeah,
and today with the body parts.
Right. And, it's like, you know.
It's a different world.
Yeah, it is. It is. Okay, so you transferred.
So I transferred from, I was at Johnson & Wales for 2 years. I transferred to, took a semester off. I had some money issues. I had to get my finances together. So I took a semester off, and I remember I was working, I think I was at Wendy's, and I worked part-time there and part-time in another place. And I remember some of the people saying, oh, you're not going back. You're going to be just like us. You're going to be stuck in this town. And I'm like, no, you don't know me. I'm getting out of here. I'm here for a brief moment, believe me, like that. So I worked there for like 6 months or whatever. And then I went back to school, and I started at Sacred Heart, and I lost credits because I was changing my major.
To what?
I was going into media. I went from business to media.
To media, okay.
So going into media meant that all those business credits that they took meant nothing. And it was almost like starting over. So I had another 3 years ahead of me, basically, because I had to take all the core subjects that Sacred Heart University required and my media subjects. They take the credits, but they don't mean anything.
Yes.
So it's almost like a catch-22 situation.
Right.
So I didn't get discouraged. I just said, you know what? This is what I want to do. And while I was there, I was also interning at a radio station at WSHU radio. So I did that, and I was like, so that's when I started getting into radio. It's like, I like this, and it was very manual,
right,
with knobs and all that.
Right.
I like, and then we had the albums back then and all that. So it was interesting to me, and I thought to myself, this is something I want to pursue. So when I graduated and I heard about WYBC, the training program,
yes,
I joined up because I wanted to get more into radio. It was something that I was into and I liked, and I loved the, it just seemed like you had a lot of control and a lot of power, and I liked that.
Yes.
You know, so that's how I fell into it. That's how I got into YBC.
Right.
And then ended up working for WYBC later on, years later in sales.
Right. Juan Castillo, which I'm speaking with June Hollis, this is Electric Drum, of course, and we're talking about her life. She's been a longtime lover of radio and television, you know, she grew up in Groton, and like she mentioned earlier, she, you know, had a strict father who had strict rules, and you know, but you know, she left Groton and you know, went to college, and now we're at the point where she's at Sacred Heart University, you know, studying media. So Sacred Heart University, WYBC training program. And so you saw yourself and maybe doing something on air, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Once I think that the time that I had at Sacred Heart, where I was literally Radio 101 and Radio 102, you're having a show, and I was doing a show, and I remember it was about, it had something to do with music and the olden days or what have you, but I liked it, and I had my own show. And I said, this is what I want to do. So when I found out about the WYBC training program, I said, this is perfect.
Right.
Because now I can have my own show. I just have to go through the training. And I did it. And I needed that. And at the time, I was working at Channel 8. This is way back when. I'm going back to when I was in my 20s.
What were you doing there?
I was a sales assistant.
Okay, at Channel 8.
I'm a sales
okay.
assistant. I'm out of college. I'm working as a sales assistant. I hadn't decided I wanted to go into sales then. I kind of wanted to be on the air, but it wasn't working out that way. So I just said, you know what? Maybe I should go into sales because I'm working around salespeople.
Right.
And they looked like they had the life. So I'm like, you know, I'm just as, they're around my age and they're making money and I'm working for them. I'm like, there's something wrong with this picture. I have a degree too.
Right.
My mother didn't, you know, wasn't what her dream was for me, kind of thing. So I got out of that, and my first job in radio actually was Weeby 108 Radio in Bridgeport. That was my first job in radio. So I left Channel 8 as a sales assistant, went to work in sales at Weeby 108. Weeby got merged with WICC, so I ended up selling the combo station. The sales team was trimmed down from 25 to 12 or something like that, and I made the cut. And then from there, I went to WNHC Radio, and I was there for 5.5 years. And this is a while ago. So I worked my way up from account executive to national sales manager / general sales manager. And then the station went out of business. It had nothing to do with me.
Right,
a whole nother story, a whole nother conversation. And that's a long one.
Yes.
But basically from there, I went to Umojin News. And I was the local sales manager. And this is a black newspaper in Bridgeport, Connecticut. And I was there for a year and change. And I had three people selling for me. And then from there, I went back to Weeby. And I was working at Weeby and WICC for another 2 years. And then from there, I went to WYBC. And WYBC at the time, Tom Joyner had just come on board, you know.
Yes.
And the station needed someone to put the sales... put a sales team together, at least have the station be sold the right way. And they knew my background, so they actually sought me out. They knew I worked for a black newspaper. They knew I worked in black radio for five and a half years and managed. And so they thought of me and they sought me out and they said, we'd love to have you as a new business director. So that's what I got hired as, and worked there for 4 years. And I was working for Cox Radio by way of WYBC, because Cox Radio does not own WYBC, but we marketed it.
Yes.
And so it was an interesting time. It really was. There was a lot of things going on then.
Right.
Lots of things.
And you know, it's interesting, you know, let's go back a little bit, you know, from on the air to account exec. And I tell this story to a lot of folks. I'm like, you know, if you go in the parking lot of any radio station and or television station, and you look at the cars and the type of cars that people have, all the luxury cars are the salespeople and the general sales managers. And the on-air staff, their cars are not as nice, right? You know, and why? Because talent is important. You know, by the end of the day, someone's got to sell the station and make money. You know, and you know, you had to make that decision, okay?
Yes,
you
I
know.
Did.
Be this person, you know, who everybody knows as a personality.
Exactly.
And obviously you had some experience.
I did it.
Well,
I had my show. I had my Lover's Corner with Lejeune.
Right.
WYBC.
Right.
And
that's
this was before.
Right.
Way before Cox had anything
right.
to do
so,
with it.
So
I saw that too. I see where you're going. And
right.
I saw that as myself. I said, this is something I love doing and it's fun. And I don't get paid for it because I'm a community volunteer announcer. But I also saw that if I want to make a living and I want to support myself, I got to do something that's going to pay the bills. And that's where sales came in. And I figured the on-air part I can do on the side.
Right.
You know, my so-called dream or what have you. But
the
paying the bills part and having a car to drive and all that other stuff, I had to get into sales. And sales, you really do control your destiny. It's such a wonderful thing to be in. And you have to have the courage to do it because we're 100% commission. So
now what's interesting is that, you know, when you first started at Johnson & Wales, you started a business.
Yes.
And then you had to give up those credits so you can get in media.
Yes.
But then it came back around because all of those classes and the concept of what business was all about
exactly
became important to you again.
That's
right?
Why I wanted that background. I always think of plan B before plan A. And I just honestly, because of things that have, and I think as you get older too, we start thinking more along plan B lines because you know that things don't always work out the way we want them to. Let's face it.
I got a question for you. You know, as African-Americans, we tend to want the 9-to-5s, right? You know, the sure bet, I'm going to get paid no matter what. I do my job.
Exactly.
I get paid at the end of the, you know, you don't get rich, you know, or you don't do real, real well, you know, because, you know, normally in those kinds of situations, you're not the direct link with making the money for the company, right? You know, you're
absolutely
providing some other kind of service, right?
Like support, yes.
You know, you had to make that transition. You know, tell me, I mean, was it? It had to be scary.
It was scary.
Right?
It was scary, but it was something I had. All I kept thinking was, oh, my mother would be like, what are you doing? You went to college. I did so much to go to college because I literally worked my way through it. I thought, this isn't where I should be ending up. I'm supporting someone else's dream. That doesn't make sense to me. So I had to go out, you know, step out of faith and just say, you know what? This is, I'm looking at these people that are my age making money and I'm not, or even having the potential to make it.
Right.
And I'm in this, you know, really, you know, low paying position and I'm doing all this stuff to make their dreams come true and I'm like, there's something wrong with this picture.
Right.
So I just said, even though I'm afraid, I'm still gonna do it because I'm gonna look back someday and say I'm glad I made that decision and I'll tell you I've never regretted it.
So tell me, And you were a general sales manager here at WYBC.
Yes, I was. WNHC.
At WNHC, I'm sorry. Yeah. But you were a business manager at YBC.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, new business development.
Yeah, new business development, right. So, you know, you've been in a position where you had to go recruit.
Recruit. It was tough. It was really hard.
And tell me why. Tell me why it was so hard.
It was hard because a lot of African Americans don't want, they like you said, they want the 9-to-5. They want the, I want the steady paycheck. I want to know that, you know, I'm going to get paid twice a month or what have you. They don't want something where somebody's going to say, we're going to give you a salary for 3 months and then we're taking it away and you're on your own. Or we're giving you a salary for a year and then you're on your own. Or, you know, what have you. They don't want that commission, even though the commission means that the sky is the limit. They don't see the sky is the limit. They see, I got bills right now and I got to take care of them. And I don't want to make sacrifices to get to that point. And that's what it's about, too, that the ultimate sacrifice. Mm. And if you make the sacrifices from the beginning, you're going to reap the benefits in the end. That's just what it's all about. But you have to understand that. And you also have to believe in yourself and know that you can do it. You have to know when you walk in the door, you're going to do this. You're going to get this job done because it's all on you. You're not sitting at a desk. This is one of the funniest parts. When I worked as a sales assistant back in my 20s, I always had people coming to me, giving me things and saying, I need this, this, and this done. And so I'm sitting there, I'm waiting, and my whole day is based on what someone's going to give me to do. When you're in sales, you're the one that's giving someone something to do. So you're going to make things happen. And so you go from I don't have any work today to, no, you do have work. You got to go out and make it. And you got to, and it's just that mentality and that thinking differently and knowing that you're the person that causes people to have work to do.
But that was interesting.
It's almost like an entrepreneurial type of
attitude.
Thinking. Yeah.
Right. And that's interesting because, I mean, you know, like in sports, you know, you've got to make a lot of sacrifices to become an NFL player, basketball player.
Absolutely.
So, yes. And because of the fact that there's not many slots open, that's scary,
yeah.
But we do it though, right?
Yes.
But there's very few, a tiny little percentage of slots. And the community supports that too, right?
Yes.
You know, because I think one of my problems with that is the fact that, you know, if a kid comes to the family and say, I want to go on Wall Street and sell stocks, or I want to sell ads on WYBC. No, what are you doing? You know, no way, you know, because you don't know what's going to happen. Well, but then they'll support, like, okay, you know, keep taking the AAU. You're going to play basketball, and one day you're going to be an NBA. I mean.
And what are the chances? And then, God forbid, you get injured.
Exactly.
That's the thing.
And I think we got to change that mentality.
We do. We have to show that we're better than that, and that we can do it with our brains. Not necessarily, because again, that physical thing.
Right.
I mean, look at the guy the other day in the news that blew his fingers off.
And
what did he just sign a contract, the NFL player?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, yeah, Pierre, my Giants. Yeah.
Who knew?
absolutely. You never know. So this is Juan Castillo. Interesting conversation I'm having with June Hollis. She's an account exec at Channel 8 right now. She's worked in media pretty much her whole life. You know, and former, you know, salesperson here at YBC, former personality on a radio here at WYBC, and we're talking about her life, you know. Let's talk about, you know, the different stops that you came. Yeah. I mean, one of the things about, you know, you were selling Weeby, which is basically a station that's normally, you know, for white folks.
Oh yeah, I can tell you a story with that too.
Tell me the story about that.
Well, I worked at Weeby and WICC Radio, and it's in Bridgeport, Connecticut, but the market is Fairfield County.
Yes.
So Fairfield County is basically Bridgeport to Greenwich. So that was our main territory, even though technically we could have gone the other direction. We mostly spend our time between Bridgeport and Greenwich, and a lot of time between Norwalk and Greenwich, which is considered the Gold Coast. And I remember my general manager at the time saying to me, I wonder, how are you doing out there, basically? And I think you'll be okay. I think everyone's going to be able to accept you because this is a different time. And I'll never forget that.
And by that, he's talking about because you're black.
Because I'm selling to white folks all day long. Selling a white radio station, yes. But at the same time, I'm a black person selling a white radio station. So he's like, how are you doing it? And I said, you know what? I grew up around white people. I'm from a small town, you know, white town or what have you. And I said, this is what I'm used to it. I don't feel uncomfortable because I'm used to being around a lot of white people. This is how I grew up. So it wasn't a big deal that way. Now, this is a different town. I mean, Fairfield County is a whole nother animal.
Yeah.
And now you're talking about people that have money and, you know, so on and so forth. But again, I felt passionate about the product. I love Weeby and I love WICC and I believed in it. And if I believe in something, I can sell anything. But right. I have to believe in it. I won't work for a station I don't believe in.
Right.
So that's the other thing.
Right.
Some people can sell anything. I can't sell anything. I can only sell things that I'm passionate about.
Right.